service.
It's morning and today's the day. If I'm gonna make a run for it, live my best life in Viral Villa, I have to go now. First step, I sneak into my parents' bedroom and steal my phone back from my mom's nightstand. Downstairs, I make it past the breakfast table as if I'm going to school. Meanwhile, upstairs, I left a note on my bed explaining where I'm actually headed. I feel like I'm pulling off a heist or some shit.
Hey, kiddo. You sleep well?
Yeah, slept fine.
Ooh, your backpack looks heavy today.
I can't tell if it's a leading question or not, but I need to have a reply ready. Yeah, I'm bringing some podcast equipment. Janelle and I are going to use Here Comes the Break as our big semester project. At least that part about the podcasting project is true. We have decided to use our experience with the show as the foundation of a joint audio lab project. But actually, my bag is heavy because I'm all geared up for my exclusive invite to the Viral Villa in L.A. 3 jam-packed days, making fresh content, gaining mutual follows, and revealing myself as the man behind Mask On.
Sounds like a good idea. This is exactly how you should be applying your extracurriculars.
Have fun at school, baby.
Luckily, that's the last of the raised eyebrows from my parents as I grab a banana and bust out the door. From there, it's off to JFK. One of the advantages of living out in Rockaway Beach is that I can take the MTA to the airport in under an hour. Comes in clutch right now as I'm pulling off the craziest play I ever made. After pushing my way through a couple transfers, it's airport time. Security, the works. It isn't until I'm sitting at the gate waiting to board that the true insanity of what I'm doing lands home. My limbs start to rattle and a pressure like a ton of bricks hits my chest. What am I doing? Traveling across the country without telling my parents? Breaking ranks with my podcast team to make the trip even though we agreed none of us would go? I'm blowing up all my closest relationships for this one shot to cash in on everything we've worked for. But hell no, I'm not gonna have a panic attack now. I've come too far. I fight through it. I stay focused. I have to do this for myself. A statement that I'm ready to pursue this internet fame thing, that I'm finally ready to own it. And then, of course, my phone goes off with notification bells.
Reuben, we saw the message you sent back to the villa. What's the deal?
You're a dick.
Marco's already wise to what I've pulled off. Janelle's probably in shock. But it's all gonna work out. They'll see.
I'm sorry, but I'm going. We can't miss this chance, and I need to do this myself.
I can't believe you, man.
This is incredibly irresponsible.
With that, I turn my phone on airplane mode. No point in getting called out now. There'll be hell to pay when I get back, but I won't let my nerves get to me. I've been letting those nerves keep me from pursuing my goals for so long, and the success of Here Comes the Break has been like a cure-all. I feel driven, focused, able to do anything. I'm locked in. The plane begins boarding, so I put on my headphones and get in line. Viral Villa, here I come. As soon as I get off the plane, there's someone from the house to pick me up and drive me over. I flew into Burbank, less traffic than LAX. We head back to the East Side bungalow that is both the Viral Villa itself and home to the arts collective of the same name that works inside. My host, Corbin, is tall, blonde, fit, all American type. He introduces me to the other members of the collective and the other visitors for the weekend. Allie, Jay, Ted, a string of names. Stone Cold Influencer, Hot to a One. I recognize them all from TikTok. I settle into the spare room, change into swim trunks, and we spend the afternoon in their pool partying. The sun, the skin, the pool itself, everything glows in the California air. I make eyes with this fly chick Allie and get to know Corbin over a grill. Over dinner, we brainstorm ideas for TikTok videos to make the next day. I pitch my reveal of my mask on identity in one of the videos, and everyone's into it. Drinks go around after the food, and I'm living my best life so I get drunk with Corbin, Allie, and an influencer named Kat. We talk about life in the 21st century, Kanye running for president, by Scott and Commerce, all of the shit that I love to think about. And then they follow me on the gram. I crash hard after that. But up early in that breakfast, everyone is already starting to send out live streams and make videos on their phones. Corbin says I should cameo on his feed to reveal my identity, and I'm not about to say no. He shows off the breakfast spread and then flicks the camera up to catch me loading up my plate.
Shout out to Rockaway Beach!
Yo, we got Mask On in the house this weekend. He's blowing up with his podcast. Here comes the break. You gotta listen.
He tags all my accounts in the post, and pretty soon the follows are flooding in. It's like magic. Kat and I go for a drive around the city, and she takes me to a meeting with an agent named Orin. After that, we hike Griffith Park Observatory. When we get back to the villa, we end up making out in the pool. Allie seems disappointed, but what can I say? Between making fresh clips, I check my messages. Nothing from anyone back east. They're probably stewing in how mad they are that I did this. Problem for Monday, Ruben. Back to the lounge where I end up smoking a joint and then meeting a rapper who wants to be on the podcast. I tell her I'll hook her up with my people when I get home. I'm getting used to acting like I belong here. On the second night, we order in for dinner. Thai food. It's better than any Thai I've ever had on the East Coast. Everybody crowds around the kitchen island. A couple that makes YouTube videos decides to make a mukbang out of it, grabbing something from every platter in the huge spread. By this point, the number of followers on my social feeds has gone out of control. I'm not doing Marco numbers, but with more crossover events like this, we could get there. And everyone will be an all-new Here Comes the Break listener. Finally, I'm going to be able to interact with the online audience directly. No more smokescreen with Marco and Janelle. I stumble to my room at 1 a.m. after another night of drinking with Corbin and the house regulars. Someone's passing around Xannies, and I take one. The booze mixes with the pills, and the weed from earlier got me faded. For the second night in a row, I forget to take my meds, but I'm living off the high of just being here right now. I wake up with a hangover on the third morning. I have to go back east and face everyone at home soon. Harder to keep that thought from my mind when I'm feeling like shit. But as soon as I make my way to the common area, I'm lit up by all the energy of these creators. Everybody's at it again. Driven. It's a high. I cameo in some TikToks with Ted, Jay, and Allie before it's time to head back to the airport. Corbin offers to drive me back to Burbank. We squeeze in one more swim in the pool when we leave, and I try to get Kat's number, but she shoots me down. Can't win them all. As far as business goes, this weekend has been a total success. But once I'm back on the plane, the reality starts to set in. I went behind Marco and Janelle's back. I basically ran away from home. Mission accomplished in terms of growing my social following in the podcast. Mission accomplished in terms of taking the power back from mom and dad. But holy shit. At first, I leave my phone off during the flight, avoid checking my messages again. But now that I've got nothing to do but sit and think, my mind is going crazy with the worst case scenarios. Marco or Janelle quitting for one, being grounded forever in a day. My phone burns a hole in my pocket. I have to smooth things over somehow. Now that I've run off with the invite and partied it up with the hottest TikTok stars in LA. Shit, there's no easy way to do this. It's gonna ring hollow. Eventually, I can't take it anymore. I pull out my phone and turn it on and log into the plane's Wi-Fi. Still no messages from my parents and nothing from Marco or Janelle either. When I didn't hear from them over the weekend, it was easy to avoid feeling bad, but now the silence puts a pit of dread in my stomach. I get one message.
Marco's threatening to quit the podcast. Nice work.
Damn it. Worst case scenario, getting way too close to reality. I immediately start drafting the message to Marco.
Hey man, I'm really sorry for the way I pulled this move. It wasn't fair to you. Let's talk about it as soon as I'm back.
I hit send and wait. Nothing comes back right away. Damn. I was so focused on getting this experience, living the influencer life, I just barreled straight ahead and now it's all in danger. On a whim, I check my podcast feeds and I see that Marco and Janelle posted a fresh episode over the weekend while I was away. Our interview with St. Bodie, one of the ones we already had in the can. It's a glimmer of hope. If they finished the mix on their own and posted it, Marco hasn't quit yet. I can still make it right.
In your own words, who is St. Bodie?
St. Bodie is rebellious, crazy, sensitive, intuitive. Jesus. Kind of like all over the place, but all makes sense at the same time. Like you might catch me on it. Oh, I want to give everybody flowers and roses. And the next day I'm just like, nope, none of this makes sense. We got to change the order. And this is how it's supposed to be. So, but at the end of the day, I'm usually helping people out with their lives. And I usually make sense at the end of the day.
With so much going on in the world, what role does your music play during the time of revolution?
That's crazy because I've been like reflecting on that. It's a Nina Simone interview that she did, and she said that as an artist, our job is to reflect the time. And so I've just been pushing. It's difficult because when you start off as a certain type of artist, everyone's just like, are you staying in this lane, staying in this lane? But when you start seeing your people and your Black women and Black men dealing with so many things, you start kind of getting that revolutionary strike going on. And so it's just been forcing me to more so speak about what I've dealt with as an African-American artist. You know, sometimes you can't just release a record when you want to. So I've just been kind of hammering people on the head. Like, this isn't right. Aggressive, I guess you can say. I've been a really aggressive artist. This is not only their problem, it's my problem too.
You're from South Central, yeah? How has that influenced you as an artist?
I appreciate my experience. Kind of like molded me as a woman and as a human. I've seen a lot of things. I've seen a lot of darkness, death. You know, just I can go down the list, but it helps me. I guess it helps me be strong and sensitive at the same time. And creativity, like, it's so much art. I know sometimes I'll just drive down to the hood and I'm in the hood all the time and I'm shopping, slossing and everything, and that's where all the art comes from. It doesn't come from being in Beverly Hills and being in fucking Santa Monica and all these things. It's like the art's where the people are. I have also remember all the grinding, and so sometimes I'm just like, I deserve this, I deserve this, I deserve this, I created this, I made this. But what I've been noticing now as a young woman is that I'm not over it. And so because I dealt with so many traumatic experiences like throughout my career, and so the thing that's helping me let it go is, all right, create the music, talk your feelings out, and then you have to let it go, or else I'm not going to be able to evolve into that next person if I keep holding on to all the trauma. And so I think that's how the background is starting to shape me. It's just I'm starting to process, yo dude, you're not always okay, and this shit was fucked up, and you gotta release. And so that's what it's doing. I don't make music, and it might sound crazy. It's like, I don't really make music to, I wanted to help people, but I'm doing it because this is my only sense of therapy at itself. I can't talk to someone about it because no one gets it. If I make the music, for some reason, that's the only way I can heal.
Wow, that's powerful, Okay, what advice would you give to emerging artists just getting started who wanna sign to a label?
I mean, I guess the best advice would be, you gotta be patient. You know, this is a new generation. I'm in my 20s, and so we want shit expeditiously, like instant coffee. Be patient, have intuition about the situation. There's gonna be times where everyone's wrong and you're the right one, and you're gonna have to speak up for yourself and just be like, nah, man, like, that's not what the hell I wanna do. But you also have to continue to be humble, because, you know, don't shoot yourself in the foot, because your label, they're all working for you, not against you, you know? So I guess that would be the big message, is just be motivated and motivate your team. Like, a lot of artists get shy and they don't motivate their team, and they're just like, well, do this for me, do that for me. And it's just like, no, you actually gotta, sometimes you gotta make those phone calls. Hey, what you doing? How you feeling today? All right, what we doing today? You know, you gotta kind of be the leader, or else they're not gonna know how to lead you.
Okay. And as a successful artist, what does self-care look like to you?
Man, that's so crazy, because it's keeping my house together and my car together. I know that sounds like minute, but when my house is organized, when my car is organized, I feel very calm. When I'm speaking to my family and giving them their praises and love,
I feel you.
That makes me very happy. And then I'll disconnect. Sometimes I'll turn my phone off for like a day or two, and it irritates people sometimes, but I don't care. And I'll just go into this self-love of doing my nails and my hair. Sometimes I won't even get my nails done. I'll do them myself. It's just a self-care thing. And I have like this little pyramid and like my crystals. I'll meditate. I light candles, write notes to myself. I do a lot of like keeping my mental in check, because as artists, our brains are like all over the place. So I have to do certain things like that. Or I'll play video games. I'm a nerd, so I love video games. I love anime. I love to read and just disconnect.
Last question, and this is something I ask every artist. What do you want your legacy to be?
To teach people about. So I feel like we're in this really weird period of life where a lot of people are selfish, and a lot of people are in this like, get your bag, and men are like, oh, let me have like 5, 10, 7, 8 girls, and you know, let me not be transparent and honest and blah, 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 blah. And so I feel like I want to teach people to do more transparency. Like, one of the reasons why some of my songs are so jarring is because it's very pure honesty. And so I just want to teach people that it's okay to tell that girl, yo, I got 4 girlfriends and a baby mama, but you have a choice. Or I got, you know, this is my life situation. Or I'm depressed today. Why am I telling you I'm great? Like, if you go to a barbershop and you get your hair cut, how you're doing today, you say, I'm fine, but you're fucking depressed. Then it's just like,
okay.
You know, you're lying. So I just want to teach people to come from the pureness of their heart and just be honest. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. That's like the main motive. Most irritating thing to me is when people are not honest.
We'll be right back. And now, back to the show.
I get home in the evening Eastern time, make my way back to the house, and St. Bodhi's words about dishonesty are ringing in my ears. I pause at the front door, feeling the full weight of my backpack on my shoulders and the ton of bricks to bury me alive that my parents are about to lay on me. I take a deep breath and turn the knob. Inside, Mom and Dad are waiting for me in silence. He's in the recliner, she's on the couch, and their faces are stone cold.
How long have you guys been waiting like this?
Mom doesn't say a word. Her stare alone burns right through me like a laser. She's gonna whip my ass. She gets up and storms out of the room, up the stairs.
Go to your room. There's gonna be consequences for this. Severe consequences. We'll talk in the morning.
My dad heads up the stairs behind my mom, who slams her room door. I swear I felt the house shake. I'm left in the living room alone. But I'm confused. That was short and almost too easy. I thought for sure I was in for a fight right away. I sit in the silence for a moment. It feels heavy. With nothing left to do, I head up the stairs too, to my room. The house is so quiet. My parents' reaction was so muted, it's unsettled me. On a selfish level, I know that even if they ground me till kingdom come, we've got workarounds to record the remaining podcast interviews from my closet. But I also worry I've damaged their trust beyond repair. Just like I might have with Marco. I check my phone. Still no reply from him. He's tight. Or maybe he's just blown off steam. Either way, I haven't felt this alone in a long time. Under the weight of the guilt, I start reviewing the crazy weekend in my head. But for some reason, it just doesn't seem as glamorous. I remember my second night drinking, smoking, taking pills, stumbling to my room at 1 a.m. I remember making a rejected pass at CAD. I haven't been taking my meds. I got so fixated on this trip as some wild break from my stifling home life, except it wasn't a clean break. It was just a vacation. I'm sitting in the wreckage that I've created with parents who are going to make it as hard as they can for me to finish the podcast, and my crew may be done with me too. There's no escaping it. No pretending my problems don't exist. Now's my reality. I turn to my phone again and text Janelle.
Hey, I texted Marco. Haven't really heard back. Where's his head at?
For a moment, I'm in suspense. But soon I see the three little floating dots to say Janelle's typing back. Hey, at least somebody's still talking to me.
Reuben, Marco was hurt. Your parents have been reaching out to everyone all weekend for more info. We put out the episode while you're away, but I had to drag him kicking and screaming. I hope you brought him back a souvenir at least. He's pissed to say the least.
Does 16,000 new followers count?
With him? I'm sure I'll take the followers. However, that's your boy. You have to make it right for him.
How about with you? Are you pissed too?
Honestly, I'm pretty disappointed in you. That's straight up betrayal. You refused to let Marco go, then you ran off yourself without permission. I think it's whack of you to sacrifice your friendships for a weekend of fame and late night sessions in a pool. Partying it up, cuddling up with that girl Kat. It was right in Marco's face.
Damn, Janelle, how the hell did you know about Kat?
Do you think she wouldn't post about that? You spent a weekend at a place called Viral Villa with influencers who live on their phones. Dude, you still have a lot of growing up to do. Nothing is private. How long have you known Marco?
Since we were little. 6, 7.
Damn, Reuben. You're cold-blooded.
Her clapback hits me hard across the face. Marco co-founded this pod with me. I mean, he's the reason I mask on, really. And I did him dead wrong.
Point taken. I'll reach out to him again tomorrow. And I'll see you at school.
Hopefully you're still alive in the morning.
I put the phone aside and collapse on my bed. I feel the weight of every burned out nerve ending pressing in on me. anxiety from every direction. What is this with me lately? I've been having so many panic attacks, missing my meds, and then I blow up my life for this weekend viral villa out of nowhere. When I take a step back, I don't feel so good about it. I feel uneasy. Sick to my stomach. Janelle not blowing up at me is a clear sign that I've dug a grave for myself. She's detached. She thinks less of me, that's clear. But she wants in on the show and the grade for the project. My worries from before about competing for her with Marco seem like nothing now. Stupid teenage stuff. And morning will soon come. And then I'll have to face my parents, which will be less about the punishment and definitely more about the scare that I put them through. I'm sure of that. It's keeping me up. I expected to have the memory of the weekend to hold on to like a source of pride and energy when it came time to face these consequences. With the actual cost of it hanging over me now, I'm not sure. One clonopin later and I am hoping to fade out, so I fantasize about the glamour coming back to this weekend's memories. I'm remembering all the people I met, the California sun, the surf, the pool, the food, all of my horizons expanding. I can't go back to just being a student at a STEM school planning for a normal life. I've had that taste again, the taste of online fame. It's all within my reach. I'm about to drift off to pleasant dreams when my phone buzzes. It's an instant notification. It's from Marco. He's gone public with our beef. He's tagged me and he's now calling me out for abandoning my team to go to Viral Villa. Man! I shift up in bed. This is worse than I thought. I want to respond with something, but the meds are taking me down and an internet flame war is Marco's home turf. He posted a parody of my cameo on Corbin's feed with him making a screwed up face and airing all our dirty laundry in the caption.
Mask on, my good friend, turned his back on me this weekend and ran off to Viral Villa like a villain. But don't worry, here comes the break still dropped. No thanks to at R. Robinson. We're not cool.
I mean, what's even the appropriate response to that? It's childish, right? But he hates me. I'll deal with this in the morning. After my parents. I feel like I took my mask off and everyone in my life recoiled in horror. What do I do now?
And now an exclusive track from Saint Bodhi.
In a brand new Porsche, trying to make the deal. I see the streets are paved with gold, but when the crackheads dropping needles, no one knows. T-shirts, Long Beach Boulevard in a mini skirt. Oh Lord, save him. A couple shootouts I didn't want to be involved in. I needed guidance cause I didn't feel important. I let him touch me cause I didn't have a voice then. Took my innocence, dipped black girls, extras and nickel love and learn your worth and you'll be okay. I know it hurts but you gotta brush your dirt. In a brand new Porsche, trying to make a deal. I see the yourself in the light. Them scars on your back show the strength of your fight. And I know it ain't easy. Weight on your chest, bulletproof vest. You don't feel blessed, suffering stress. Hold on, reconsider, don't turn bitter. Cause behind all that pain, you shine like glitter. You shine like glitter, yeah. You shine like glitter, yeah. Took my innocence, dear black girls, sex doesn't equal love. And learn your worth, and you'll be okay. I know it hurts, but you'll be okay. Be okay. I know that you'll find another way. Another way. I feel like heaven is real, but the devil's outside in a brand new Porsche trying to make the deal. Streets are paved with gold, but when the crackheads dropping needles, no one knows.
Here Comes the Break is produced by Double Elvis in partnership with iHeartRadio. Executive produced by Def Jam Recordings. Executive produced by and starring Asante Black as Ruben. Produced by Daniela Perkins, who plays Janelle. Bobby Sias as Marco. Christopher V. Edwards as Dad. Rami Cornell as Mom. And Taylor Bettinson. Written by Taylor Bettinson and Nakia Hill. Artist interviews conducted by Nakia Hill. Directed by Christopher V. Edwards. Mixed and edited by Matt Tahaney. Sound recording by Colin Fleming. Music elements and production by Ryan Spraker. Additional production support by Jamie Demas. Executive produced by Jake Brennan and Brady Sadler for Double Elvis. Special thanks to Oren Rosenbaum, Shelby Shankman, Sarah Kowaney, and Jordan Gorelick at United Talent Agency, Beck Media and Marketing, Barack Muffet at Universal Music Group, Rich Isaacson, Lynn Gonzalez, Charlene Thomas, Marissa Pizarro, Gabriel Cesariero, Jessica Manorino, and Naya Fleming at Def Jam Recordings. And Connell Byrne, Carrie Lieberman, Will Pearson, Noel Brown, and the entire iHeartMedia team. To hear bonus content, meet the cast, and go behind the scenes of Here Comes the Break, follow with Double Elvis on Instagram or visit doubleelvis.com.